you're here. Fellowship's real. Knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, April 9th, 2019. And I don't have the timer yet, Marianne, but yeah. I'm going to try to be real brief with the announcements and updates just so we can get into the meat of the program today.
Okay.
And that's reading a story or two from your book, Memories of an African Son. But I'll tell a quick little story. As our listeners know, on Friday night we had the children's choir singing and a special orphans outreach gathering. And so I pick up Jean Rene. He's playing the guitar for the children's choir. I drive out to his house. He gets in. I drive him over.
That was nice of you.
He's dressed really nice, and I don't know what kind of jacket he had on, but it was one of those black, not suede, I don't know the material, but it reminds me of what the Beatles wore, that Sergeant Pepper's band, you know, it's like it has that embroidery in the front.
Gold, kind of the gold? Oh,
and
my.
Whatever those circular.
Is this an important
design.
Part of the story?
Not really.
Okay.
but, well, it's a nice outfit.
Uh-huh.
He gets out of the truck.
Yeah.
And he walks in front of me, and I look at the back of this very nice coat.
Yeah.
And it's covered with Beamer's dog fur.
Oh, he was
and
in
I'm
your
like,
truck.
Oh,
oh my
no.
Goodness.
What do I say to him?
Oh,
I'm
no,
like,
no.
So I go up behind it. I'm trying to pick off
terrible.
Parts of this fur.
Thought, oh, this is a really strange
but it's
person.
All over. Oh. It's not like I
you
just
had to
hide
tell
it.
Him.
I said, Jean Rene, we'll work on this later, because we had to get in and get the children all warmed up and everything. Anyways, it was just kind of funny. So
what happened? How'd you get it on?
We haven't really talked.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's not answering your call.
I just heard that during one of the break times, because the children opened up the evening and then they also closed out the evening. So there was like about an hour or so in between where they played games and such. Rumor has it that he and Tina, the choir director, had found some tape and spent about 20 or 30 minutes using that tape. You know how you roll it and then you know, press it against that.
Trying to
it
get that
took
off.
That long.
Oh, that's so nice of you to give him a ride and all.
So, I don't think he or probably any of the listeners will be driving in any vehicle I drive that Beamer's been a part of.
Next time you offer it, but that's okay.
Thanks, Mark, but no thanks. Or if they have regular kind of clothes, it's not much of an issue. Jeans and stuff, it doesn't cling to it. But this coat was like a magnet. And being black, it's like it, anyway.
The things that go on behind the scenes.
Anyone have that experience with a pet, and then somebody gets in, you're like, oh my. But that was a fabulous evening, and it was really neat to hear some of the testimonies from orphans and then those that have adopted children. And,
so great.
Just a number of people with great hearts.
So great.
And then, speaking of great hearts, Huntley Brown.
Oh.
I got to meet with him on Sunday. We went out to lunch. Actually, it began Sunday morning. He delivered the message and played a few songs on the piano at the First United Methodist Church. In fact, he was so fired up in his preaching that Reverend Bob, the Rev, he was like, amen, amen. Oh, he was supercharged.
That's
he said,
great.
I experienced like the third heaven as he was preaching. So Huntley did a great job. And then that evening, joined by the singing men of GNN, we had a wonderful, worshipful time. And people were saying, he's just so extremely gifted, yet down to earth and approachable. Yet he has the talent to back it up.
Yeah.
He's traveled the whole world, all over. And so he did a little tribute to Billy Graham, who was a close, dear friend of his and mentor by Billy Graham to some degree, and he's just traveled into the many circles of Christendom, you know, performed with many people we'd know and recognize, and so.
Well, you know, none of the singing men are ever going to ask you for a ride in their beautiful black tuxedos.
Yeah, the tuxedos. Anyways, but the material on Jean Rene's that coat,
it
sucked it in. So
I'm so glad Huntley Brown was here.
Yeah, he was wonderful. Holly Esther and I took him out to lunch.
Where'd y'all go?
The China buffet.
Oh.
He chose it. We said, do you want Italian? Do you want Chinese? Do you want Korean? Do you want this? And he goes, Chinese sounds great.
Okay.
If there's a buffet around, then he's traveled the world, so he's tasted just about everything, and so he really enjoyed it. But we probably spent 45 minutes just listening to him telling stories of God at work and friends, and he's lined up like three different people, he said, for future memorization Mondays. And in fact, you don't even know this yet. Here's a newsflash.
No, I don't.
Yesterday we had Huey Freeman.
Yes.
And he did a wonderful job at Romans 10:9.
Mm-hmm.
Well, next week it's Romans 10:10.
Mm-hmm.
Huntley Brown. We're going to call him up. And
are
he's,
you serious?
Oh, he's excited about it.
How come you tell me this?
That was the first thing I meant to tell you this morning, but we got in here and
all right,
we're ready to go. So
wow.
Huntley Brown will be next Monday.
That's great.
And so we'll be calling him up and tracking him down, and he's going to talk about Romans 10:10.
Mm-hmm.
And yet also a book that he recently wrote, and he's got some stories. And he said, wait till you hear from my daughter who wrote a devotional. You can include her someday. And
okay, we need to have two or three interviews.
Yeah, so. And then he said, oh, there's this person from Cuba you absolutely have to interview. I'm going to connect with him this week. He said he's got a great faith story.
Is he going to be on Memorization Monday?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, how exciting.
In the future someday. Oh. I told them about the different verses we're going to have. So we're going to determine like what would be a verse that they're real familiar with or is a part of their testimony.
Well, Huntley's just a wealth of
help. Oh, yeah. Oh, he's already texted me a couple times yesterday and today. Yeah, we talked through a lot of topics from politics to current events to God at work. And
that's so fun. I love people that just like to just talk.
And he's been all over the world. So.
Yeah.
And then, one of those small worlds, he's talking about this evangelist that made some huge inroads in China and asked Holly, did she know about this woman? She was an American or maybe from Britain. I'm not sure. That was serving in China.
Mm-hmm.
And Holly's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed a picture and he goes, oh, we're really close. I've done some of these crusades. And he talked about some miracle stories about what she had done.
Can I interview her?
Well, possibly. Yeah.
I'm trying to catch up here.
That's right. Well, then he was telling a little more of the story about her.
Yeah.
And then he said, well, she started this radio broadcast ministry called This. And Holly goes, at the NRB, I met people that were affiliated with that. And he said, yes, that's the ministry that she started. It was like a radio Bible hour in China.
Wow.
And so there's a whole story on how that all worked. And Holly goes, I just met those people 3 days ago.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's that ministry. And we thought, small world. And a lot of other things. So Huntley was great, and the singing men did wonderfully, and just neat things. So that's certainly more than a minute, but it wasn't so much of announcements. Usually I give announcements, this is what's coming up. And,
right. Now you can do that. We'd start your timer now.
So my timer, kudos to Randy Houston. He rescued us yesterday. In fact, Huntley Brown's playing, so it ties us back to Sunday night.
Uh-huh.
And my phone, lights up. I see Dwayne's
tower.
It's 83 degrees.
Oh,
what are we going to do? It doesn't seem like the air conditioner is working. I've tried this, so I'm texting them.
During the concert.
This. Yeah, during Huntley's part. The singing men had already sang our 8 or 9 songs. We were seated, and, I'm looking at my phone.
So anybody who looked over and
saw the little light,
you, Mark was not just texting
during
Huntley.
Yeah, I wasn't goofing off, wasn't playing a video game or what.
They were trying to save the equipment at the tower.
Well, a lot of people had their phones out because when we were singing, I could see when people, their phones light up in their laps or whatever.
Yeah. Maybe they were just getting ready to take a picture.
Well, many were videoing the group and, maybe replying to some. But that's what happened to me. I was replying like, shoot, I have to reply to this.
Oh, yeah, you
do. The transmitter, we don't want to burn up.
Dwayne's sitting out there.
what should I do? That's what he was asking. So I'm like, hold on, let me think this through. And I text him a couple options. And then I text Randy Houston and saying, hey, is there any chance Monday morning you can go out there? And he said, sure, I'll do that first thing.
Oh, good for him.
And so
thank
yesterday
you.
I learned that the indoor motor to this mechanism that runs the air conditioning that works in conjunction with the outside air conditioning unit, it's one
things
of these
like
industrial sized ones to keep the transmitter cool.
Mm-hmm.
He said burned out or something. So anyways, he replaced that, got it
all
fixed.
It's all fixed.
So, yeah, thank you, God, for that. And
okay, you can start your announcements now.
Okay, I think that's it for my announcements.
Okay.
Well, we'll see if we can read a chapter or two, but I know this chapter in Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins is entitled My Mother. Last week, if you were tuned in, you heard about your father.
Yeah.
And so it's a tough act to follow, but after reading it seems like your mom was very gifted on many levels.
Yes,
very generous, very industrious, prayer warrior, had a great listening ear, creative in the way she cared for people.
Mm.
And I highlighted a prayer warrior. We'll learn about that. But you were telling me even off air, she was known for her intercession for people.
Mm-hmm.
And for,
when she passed passed away, one of the people I called, people just bawled all around the country when we called them. They're just like, no, she can't be gone. They're like, who's going to pray for me now?
Oh. So like a dude or two.
Yeah,
just a real committed
She was
person.
Amazing. She and her sisters, they were all very feminine, very, they had a way about them. They were kind, generous, you know, but they were... They were made of strong stuff. They were Southern women.
Yeah, like you're saying to me, very feminine and yet strong and solid. They were in the workforce, or some of them worked.
They had to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They sure did. And their daddy was the sheriff, so they came by that strength kind of natural, I think.
Sure. This is Chapter 48 out of Memories of an African Son by Mary Ann Simpkins.
Okay, Chapter 48, My Mother. My mother was one of those women who other women really liked. But both women and men and young people sort of gathered around her wherever we went. Though I could name 100 reasons why that might have happened, in the final analysis, I think it was because she radiated an interest in people that was quite uncontrived. She had an acceptance of them and a somewhat unexpected sense of humor.
That goes really well with your father, who you had pointed out last week. He could be in a royal palace with, you know, an emperor, you know, wealthy, wealthy people, and yet commoners like us could just sit, and he accepted them equally.
Yeah, they were just kind of like that. I mean, she could sit in a hut with some women and just chat away, you know, and it was kind of amazing. Even when she was 90, she would still reach out from her wheelchair and sort of pat people's hands, holding them for a minute, looking into their eyes with such a sweet expression and smile of concern for them. She also had a straightforward way of talking, yet always laced with a Southern kindness that was remarkably endearing.
Did she call people like dear dear or dearie, or did she have any little names, pet names?
No.
Okay.
I have known no one else who would tell you to your face you were doing something wrong, and somewhere inside yourself, you knew you had also heard, I love you.
Hmm.
We went through a lot together, my mother and I. I don't think my mother would have ever thought of going to Africa. In fact, I'm sure of it. I don't believe she had ever intended to go anywhere too far outside the foothills of the Appalachians. She was born on Cherokee land, less than an hour's drive from what would some 20 years after her birth be formally christened the Great Smoky Mountains. She was from people well known in the area, a large and caring family, and they had deep and grounded roots there.
I think you said she had how many sisters? Seven, eight?
Eight. Two brothers.
Wow.
There was a lot of them.
Hmm.
Oh, but the family beyond them, the extended family, it was huge. This is outstandingly huge. They were beacons of light for many people, including us. They had taken in orphans. They had clothed and fed the poor. Before I was born, they had, in great faith, sold off their crops to pay the first preacher of the church in their area so he could have a salary. My parents were as different as day and night in so many ways and were from profoundly different backgrounds. He from a severely broken family, and she from a deeply stable one. But in ways that counted, they were remarkably the same. They both loved God with all of their heart, and that single fact defined their lives. They both connected well with people, and people were drawn to them. They greatly loved each other. It has made me ponder from time to time if it is the similarity in the truly important things that makes a marriage work, and not the superficial qualities of income or backgrounds. My father often said, in very certain terms, that after the foremost saving grace of God in his life, this woman's love and prayers also saved him. I can still hear her voice teaching African women on my veranda, the porch that was attached to my bedroom. Why my veranda was chosen for that, I don't know. But that eventually became its designated purpose during the day. At the end of her life, in addition to her years in Africa, my mother had been in 42 countries. She had met with and encouraged countless missionaries in various countries and had many international students in her home, both to live and as friends. She had personally taught the English language to students from China and India in her home and had been part of a groundbreaking ministry team for emerging pastors from Romania when it was still under communist control. When I go to bookstores these days and see all the sections on self-help books, I sometimes just shake my head. I wish they could have just gone and talked to my mother. She seemed to know those theories without studying them. Theories about the importance of community and engaging life in the present. She understood the value of community, and one formed around her wherever she was, somehow without her ever leaving behind the ones she already had. And she understood about living in the present. No matter what happened, she stuck with the fact that we are where we are. And she tackled that with gusto. She had a smile that lit up the room. Right after she passed on, she got a call that came to my phone instead from an African lady who had lived on our mission station in Zimbabwe, a person whom my mother dearly loved. The woman was in America, visiting one of her sons who was studying to be a doctor. Every time she came to America to see him, she had made a long distant bus trip just to sit and visit with my mother in her retirement home, and she was hoping to come and see her again. My mother would have been so sorry to miss that call. My mom was always intrigued that I tended to remember details of events and locations from our many experiences, both in Africa and other places, while she remembered the people. With her, it was always the people. No matter how far she went, and how many wondrous and interesting things she saw or experienced, she remained, at heart, a warm-hearted Southern girl with faith, who truly loved others. She could remember individuals I had long forgotten. By her bed, still hanging there on the bedpost after she passed away, was a little plaque that said, "Love spoken here." Of all the sayings floating around, that's the one she chose to have near. Wherever we were in the world for those many years, when she spoke of home, it always meant East Tennessee. I've always hoped, for her sake, that some small corner of heaven looks like her beloved East Tennessee. She would simply love that. God, I thank you for my mother.
Special. Wow, you're welling up a little.
No, she was a sweetheart.
Oh, that's wonderful.
She was a sweetheart. Good to know.
Well, while you're finishing up reading there, I was pulling out a favorite song. Many times we'll air it during Mother's Day or some other special occasions for people. It's called Mother's Touch.
Oh, that's good.
And the song talks about the incredible things that many of our moms have done, or their sacrificial giving. Maybe they were prayer warriors, their listening ear, or how industrious they were on mending something or saving up for something, or the creative way they cared for us or ministered to us in a variety of ways. So we'll dedicate that to your mom and the many listeners that have a mothering role in a variety of ways to their own children or to other children, neighbors, kids. So, and I'd ask, as we close out with this song by Stephen Annie Chapman called Mother's Touch, be praying up. We have another, what's it called, in a few hours with Rob, our editorial Prime Life Times meeting. And then tomorrow our board will be meeting, our quarterly meeting to pray up how God's going to lead this radio ministry. Then tomorrow night we're hosting a gathering for those interested in going to Washington, D.C. with us in October, or for those that are going to meet the other people that will be attending. And I do think after about tomorrow night, we'll have that all filled up. So
okay.
If you're interested in a trip to Washington, D.C., show up tomorrow, 6:30 here at the Great News Radio Center. But we're going to close out with a portion of A Mother's Touch, and the story speaks for itself.
I really appreciate you letting me read that. My mother had outstanding integrity.
And that
Thank
was
you.
Out of Memories of an African Son by Mary Ann Simpkins. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Mary Ann Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
She could open up the pantry with hardly nothing there. Like the loaves and fishes, there'd be plenty left to share. And she could take a penny and stretch it to a dime. She could kiss a fever and leave us feeling fine. And there's only one explanation for these amazing transformations. How she could take so little and turn it into so much. 'Cause God gave her a miracle when he gave her mother's touch. Give her 2 yards of cotton and a little bit of lace. She turned a flower on the wall to the prettiest girl in the place. And she could take a young man's heart that's drowning in its tears and bring back the sunshine with just a listening ear. And there's only one explanation for these amazing transformations. How she could take so little and turn it into so much. 'Cause God gave her a miracle when he gave her a mother's touch. And of all a mother's hands can do, nothing can compare to the way she could reach up to heaven and touch a child with her prayer. And there's only